Do you have an idea for a podcast, but you don't know where to start? Maybe you're overwhelmed by all the tech or you're convinced nobody will actually listen to you. Well, I'm Shauna Game. After 9.5 years as a professional podcaster, at this show, Everyone's Talking Money, and 25 million downloads later, let me tell you the secret to a profitable podcast. It is building a solid foundation, your podcast roadmap before you launch. That's why I created the Podcaster Class, a fast-paced group cohort podcasting for profit 8-week style MBA program. The Podcaster Class is immersive, comprehensive, and insanely motivational. If you want to create a podcast, DIYing a launch is just not the way to go. In the Podcaster Class, you'll get the tools, tips, and strategies to create a podcast that resonates with listeners and one you can be proud of. Get this, 90% of podcasters never make it to episode 3. That's 2.8 million podcasters who just quit. So to be a top podcaster, you only need to publish 21 episodes, but you got to make them good. So in the Podcaster Class, I'm taking the mystery out of how to create, launch, and profit from your podcast so you can create a top 1% podcast just like this one. The May cohort is now open for enrollment. Classes start May 22nd. There are only 15 spots open. You are going to learn podcasting with me and 14 other amazing people. You can learn all the details at thepodcasterclass.com. Use code podcast when you sign up for $100 off. That's thepodcasterclass.com. I'm going to be real with you. Identity theft is on the rise, and you do not want to wake up one morning and discover that your bank account has been emptied, or you're overdue on credit cards you never even applied for. We talk about this often on the podcast, but you don't realize how much of your information is available to scammers on the internet and how susceptible you and your family are to identity theft and fraud. I know, it's scary, but now you can get your data removed with Delete Me. That's why I personally choose Delete Me. Delete Me is a subscription service that removes your personal information from the largest people search databases on the web, and in the process helps prevent potential ID theft, doxing, and phishing scams. I just started using Delete Me and I got my regular personalized privacy report. I was shocked what they found and removed. It was pages of information about me that I did not want online. Here's how it works. You sign up and provide Delete Me with exactly what information you want deleted, and their experts take it from there. I cannot tell you how relieved I felt to have Delete Me. And you know, it's also a great service for your parents or grandparents to help protect them from identity theft. Delete Me is not just a one-time service. Delete Me is always working for you, constantly monitoring and removing the personal information you do not want on the internet. Take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me, now at a special price for my listeners. Today, get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and use promo code ETM at checkout. The only way you get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and enter code ETM at checkout. joindeleteme.com/ETM. Go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and use code ETM for 20% off. If you're ready to get a clue about investing and take charge of your financial future, this episode is for you. Before you sink a dollar into the stock market, you need to know author Susan Laubach's 7 rules to invest effectively and make your money grow. Welcome to Everyone's Talking Money podcast. I'm your host, Shauna Game. There's no judgment, no dumb questions, just smart conversations about you and your money. So come on in and grab a seat. Everyone is welcome here.
We've all spent more time with family lately. It can feel like old times, but your mind is on the future too, and what you can do to shape it. At Sandy Spring Bank, we work with clients to help them grow and protect their money. With wealth management, trust services, and insurance, so they can enjoy today and ultimately pass along their wealth. We believe real banking is a conversation. Let's talk about your dreams. Visit sandyspringbank.com/wealth. Wealth and insurance products are not FDIC insured, not guaranteed, and may lose value.
Welcome back to the show. It is so good to have you here. You know, sometimes someone comes along and you just feel an instant connection to them. Have you ever had that happen? It's really cool. Susan is like our resident grandma. I hope she doesn't mind me calling her that, who knows a lot about investing. She's a former Wall Street stockbroker and financial educator, and she's taught several levels of investment education to students everywhere from 18 to 74. And Better Investing magazine called her previous book the most well-rounded source of basic stock information and education. So Susan knows what she's talking about when it comes to investing. In this episode, Susan is sharing learnings from her recent book, Rumpelstiltskin's Rules for Making Your Farthings Grow. This book is amazing. It's told through these entertaining retellings of fables and fairy tales that you already know by heart, but Susan helps really demystify the world of investing and teach you seven powerful rules of investing that are going to serve as a foundation for going forward. So it's just a really interesting way to teach you about investing. When somebody like Susan comes on the show, I listen up because I know that she has decades of advice that I really want to know. She's been in this business a really long time, and to be successful for this long, she's just got some teachings that I think are really, really important. You'll learn more about these seven investing rules. You'll get a look at what it was like to be a female stockbroker before there were female stockbrokers, and you'll understand how to never pay too much for a company stock, and just so much more in this interview. Well, Susan, I am so, so thrilled to have you join us on the podcast. Thank you so much for being here.
My pleasure, believe me.
I don't normally start out with sharing someone's story, but I think it really makes sense here. From what I know, you spent 15 years in the investment business as a stockbroker, broker trainer, and in 2006, you actually returned back to your original career in theater. You've written and performed on off-Broadway, television, film, all sorts of things. You've written a couple of books. You wrote a book called The Whole Kit and Caboodle, A Painless Journey to Investment Enlightenment, which sounds amazing. Mm-hmm. And your new book, Rumpelstiltskin's Rules for Making Your Farthings Grow. So tell us a little bit about this career going from originally in theater to stockbroker. What was this like?
Well, I was in theater for a very, very long time, managed a theater. I was a resident actor and resident playwright. And then it became clear that equity pay wasn't going to put my kids through college. So I changed careers and went into briefly in the insurance business and then switched over to the investment business and was hired as a stockbroker. And I did that, as you mentioned, for the next at least 15 years. Then I did quite a few years evaluating portfolios after that, which I probably didn't mention in the bio. But now I'm back in the theater again. Now I'm back playwriting and writing my books and educating people for their finances. And that's what the book is meant to do.
Isn't it amazing how life journey, how it bobs and weaves? Nobody has a straight line story, which I think is so cool.
Yeah, well, your story is very interesting too. But the thing is, mine is sort of this through line of communicating, educating. I mean, when, you know, playwriting is really, in a sense, educating as well, certainly communicating. But that's sort of what I've always been doing, no matter what form it's been taking. But this latest book, and I had written children's books prior to the Kit and Caboodle book. I wrote a travel book also. I had written seven books prior to this. But this one came about, Shannon, because you and I know that there are a lot of people who are just terribly fearful of getting into the market, putting themselves in the hands of a stockbroker that they don't know, or for one reason or another, they're just not ready to get started because they feel unschooled in what's ahead. And so since I have taught many, many adults and a lot of people who are in this situation, I realize that people really don't remember stuff that in general kind of bores them. Unless it's told in a story form. I thought that if I would embed these things that I think are absolutely necessary for a person considering investing in the stock market, if I would embed them in sort of retold fairy tales that are pretty silly, I will admit, and I hope they make people smile, if not laugh out loud. And by embedding them in these stories, I'm hoping that it will be much more memorable, that they'll think back on these rules. I call them rules. They're things that I think are very necessary. And I'm not sure you know what the rules are. Do you have a list of them there?
I have a list of the seven rules, yeah, I believe. Yeah. I would love to walk through at least a few of them, because I think they're really amazing. And number one is just slow but steady wins the race. And I think it's really interesting. I'd love your perspective, because I know a lot of the younger generations right now are kind of hoping that they do the get rich quick scheme when it comes to investing. And some people have made a lot of money in a really short period of time, but it normally does take many, many, many years for your portfolio to grow. So tell me about being slow but steady.
Well, going back to what you say about getting rich quick, issue with that is that's not investing. I mean, investing implies that you're putting something in something and you're looking for it to grow and over time to pay back, to vest. And slow but steady wins the race, I tell through the story of the turtle and the hare, and how Tom the turtle wins the race. And he has learned from his father that he is a turtle and he's therefore slow. And he learned that he has to just get started and keep going no matter what stands in the way. And if he does that, he'll win the race. And in my little story, he wins a lot of money and he puts it in the stock market. And by being slow but steady, he makes a lot of money. So that's my slow but steady story. And the other thing I would say is you got to get started. And the problem, I think, with a lot of kids is that they don't get rich overnight. They think it can't be done, or maybe they lost their first little tiny nest egg by trying to do it overnight. And so they stand back and think, I'll do something else, you know. If you adhere to these rules and ask these questions, and then you say, I'm going to start small and I will put my money into something in which I am pretty sure has a good chance of being a long-term growth company. And I'll see what happens. And if I feel good about it, I'll put more money in. And if the market tanks on me, which you and I know happens, then I'll buy more. And in that sense, and if we're talking about young people, if we're talking about people who are in their 20s, they just got out of college, or even older people who have never had any money, but they inherit it, or they, you know, get a divorce settlement or something like that. The young people really do have years and years and years to watch this, you know, and this is the time for them to start in, to get started, and then slow but steady will win the race.
So why do you think investing is, it's obviously something that we know we need to do, but why do we wait, or why do we feel intimidated?
I think it's because there's so much jargon in the business. And there are so many, pardon me, stockbrokers who talk too fast. And they put people off. They make people feel dumb. Shannon, between you and me, they make women feel dumb a yes. lot of times. And then the women are just not going to go there. They're going to go, you know, put their money in the bank and watch it not grow at all. And so I think that the problem has to do with the way the business has been communicated. Warren Buffett's a wonderful guy to read and follow because he talks very simply. And he says things very straightforward. For example, in this, you know, great run-up on the market, he said during the last run-up that he's just waiting for the tide to go out and see who was swimming naked. Yeah. I mean, he talks like that, and he makes things very, very easy to understand for people. So it doesn't need to be complicated, but you look at the business page, or you watch one of these, you know, business programs, and you can get very confused just by the language that is used. So having had to learn this business coming from theater, where I knew nothing, nobody I knew anything. I had never invested. I didn't know the difference between a stock or a bond, believe it or not. And so I remember the learning process very well and how hard it was and where the roadblocks were. And so that's why I think I'm a good teacher. It was interesting because I went to work for the oldest investment banking firm in the Western Hemisphere and indeed the third oldest in the entire world. And I was only the second woman they had ever hired.
Wow.
Yeah. And they told me that the first woman hadn't worked out all that well. And I thought that was hilarious. That was like saying you'd read a book, but you didn't like it. So you were never going to read the book. I was dumbfounded by that comment. But they hired me because I think at the time Goldman had been sued by some women. And I think that that my fine company, and it was truly a fine company, just didn't want to have the attention that not having any women might bring. So I think that's why I was hired. And I knew some people who were partners in that fine company. And I got the job, and I more or less learned on the job because once they hired me, they thought, well, that's enough. I had to go learn the difference between a stock and a bond. But anyway, I really loved that company. It was Alex Brown and Sons, and it was an absolutely wonderful, high quality group of gentlemen, just fine gentlemen. In fact, they had a sobriquet. They were called the Gentlemen of Wall Street. So I sort of blew that when I came in. They couldn't include me in that. But
that sounds like that could be a whole play you could write.
Well, I did include the whole thing in one play that I wrote. Because the hiring process was really sort of funny too, but anyway, the whole time that I was brokering, I was also teaching. I was teaching investing, and to that end, I wrote the first book, and now I've written this second book, and I'm very interested in your listeners. Knowing about it, and I really appreciate your talking to me about it.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm going to skip around on a couple of these seven rules. I want to talk about number three, because I think this one's really interesting. The difference between a loaner to and an owner of a company. Talk to me about that.
Well, a loaner, when you loan a company or an entity money, you are, in fact, buying a bond which will pay you interest. And that's a fixed income that you receive as interest payments. And then at the end of the time period, for however long you have loaned the entity your money, You will get your money back. You will get it back, provided you invested, or rather, you loaned your money to a company or an entity of high quality. And that's not investing. That's a loan. You don't own anything of that company. In fact, they have borrowed money from you. The owner of a company is an investor. As a stock owner, you are an investor and an owner of a piece of that company. And then, you know, I used to say to people, you own the company. Do you want them to sell cigarettes or liquor? Or, I mean, is there something in your value system that says this company might not be the right fit for you? You've got to know that sort of stuff. But you may find out that it's investing in something you have no interest in and really disapprove of, but you are an owner.
I'm sorry, but I have the best dog ever. Her name is Winnie Stardust. She is a mini golden mountain doodle full of life, and I would do just about anything to keep her happy, healthy, and safe. Today's episode is sponsored by the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program. Your pet is part of your family and you want to do the best for them, but vet bills can really add up. We jokingly keep telling Winnie she needs to get a job to pay for her vet bill. That's why you should check out pet insurance. And with ASPCA Pet Health Insurance, you can focus on the care your pet deserves and cover what matters most. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customized accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care they need. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. They allow you to customize your plan, helping to ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are. Because vet bills can really add up, especially when you are least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim and you'll receive reimbursement for eligible vet bills directly into your bank account. To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. That's aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. Again, that's aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independent American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer, is not engaged in the business of insurance. In those moments when money is just not moving as fast as your dreams, EarnIt provides the financial momentum you need to keep moving forward. EarnIt is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. You just download the EarnIt app and verify your paycheck. Then you access up to $100 a day as you work, and you can leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. I honestly would use EarnIt in lots of different ways, but what's on my mind recently is I need a night out. I need some good tacos to sip on a few virgin margaritas and celebrate you all helping this podcast earn 26 million downloads. Make EarnIt a part of your financial routine and join EarnIt's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, when I think about EarnIt, I think about financial stability and security. Gives me a lot of peace of mind. Download EarnIt today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the EarnIt app, type in Talkin' Money under podcast when you sign up. It will really help the show. Talkin' Money under podcast. EarnIt is a financial technology company, not a bank, subject to your available earnings, daily max, pay period max, and location. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank & Trust, member FDIC. Okay, friend, I want to know, what are your money goals this year? Are you saving to buy a house or maybe a wedding or a dream vacation to somewhere tropical? If that's you, please, please take me with you. Or maybe you want to just grow your emergency fund because, let's be real, life is expensive. I want to make sure you reach your goals, so you need Monarch. That's why the Wall Street Journal named it the best app for growing your savings. Monarch is the top-rated, all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. You can create custom budgets, track progress towards your financial goals,
and collaborate with your partner. And now get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/ETM. Here's what I love. Monarch is the most customizable budgeting app. You can change the layout of your dashboard. You can go between light and dark mode. You can create custom budgets and notifications. You can set up all of these automatic rules for your transactions and notifications, and so much more. Monarch is obsessed with constantly improving their product. Get this. They release updates every 2 weeks, and they even allow customers to submit suggestions, vote on requested features, and view the product roadmap. This, my friend, is totally original. Plus, they will never sell your data to third party or show you ads. I think that's really important. After trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it is the top-rated personal finance app. And now, listeners of this show get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/ETM. That's monarchmoney.com/ETM for your extended 30-day free trial. I think that's really important to think about because, especially now with technology, it's very easy to feel disconnected. If, let's say, I buy a share of, I'm just picking something out of the blue, Amazon or Apple or whatever it might be, I almost don't feel like I'm an owner, but I think that's important to think about. Do I actually agree with this company's policies? Do I like what they sell, et cetera, because you are in fact an owner.
That's exactly right. And the problem with conglomerates and with companies that are enormous with many, many small companies within them is that you might love half of what they do and disapprove of the other half. And then you just have to sort of make up your mind. what you think the good they do outweighs the bad they do. It certainly would be the case with Amazon, which I absolutely love. And I'm a big customer of Amazon and an investor. And the thing with conglomerates, I shouldn't really mention a name, but the thing with conglomerates is that it makes it much more difficult for you to know what they own. And so I suggest strongly Value Line. Value Line will give you all the information you need to have to see if this company has the right value system for you. I'll go through what Value Line is because I'm sure you know about it. Most business libraries have a subscription to Value Line. It is an independent company with 90 industry analysts, all very highly thought of and all independent of any outside influence. And they cover a vast number of companies within a very large portfolio of industries. They come out every 13 weeks with a whole new variety of reports. And you can go to those reports in your library. You can also, of course, subscribe to it on your own online, or they'll send you hard copies. And you can get all the information you need to know what companies, what businesses these companies are in, how much is institutionally owned, what the earnings estimates are, what the past numbers are. It's very, very informative. In fact, I gave a class on how to read Value Line, and I just think it is so important. It is the best research tool that I know an independent investor can have.
Wow. Okay. That is an amazing tip.
Yeah.
I want to talk about number five, because I think this is something that a lot of people are not sure how to think about this one. It's never paid too much for shares of a company stock. How in the world do we know if we're paying too much?
Okay, that's a little more complicated an answer. So let me know if I'm if I'm too confusing on this. It's called the PEG ratio. And that is the PE, price divided by earnings, the PE, equal to or less than the growth rate in those earnings. So I'll just give you an example. Let's say that company A is priced at $10 a share, and it is expected to earn $1 this year. You know, that would be divided amongst all the shares. So the price earnings ratio, $10 divided by the $1, is 10. So you would not want to pay a higher PE than the growth rate. I skipped a step. The PE is 10. So now you need to find out what the anticipated growth rate in that $1 is for the future. You can find that out by looking at Value Line. And there are other services that do estimates, company estimates, and can be found on Google. Find out what they are expected to earn next year, the year after, perhaps a 3 to 5 year outlook, which is what Value Line does. And if the 3 to 5 year outlook is that they will earn, or they will grow rather, by at least 10%, that's the growth rate, at least 10%, then you're paying the right price if you pay $10. If the stock is $30 and it's only earning $1 and it's only growing at 10%, that's way overpriced. Now, there's one thing about stocks that are way overpriced. Sometimes they always are, and I don't mean just in this last flashy tech, you know, bubble. Yes. If they are always selling at a premium price, that says that the institutional community, those people who buy for very large portfolios, believes that this company is worth a premium multiple, that this company has such a solid balance sheet and they're A-plus rated by the ratings services, that they will earn a premium PE, premium multiple. Multiple and PE are the same things. Here I am speaking in a jargon. Sorry about that. But so the PEG ratio, or PE equal to or less than the growth rate, PEG, is a way to determine whether the price is too high. There were years, believe it or not, in my long career, when the PE was less than the growth rate. And wow, what a pleasure it was to find something like that. If you then went through and did the research and found out that they weren't expected to go bankrupt in the next 30 days. But did I make that clear, or was that just way too
expensive? No, that was very clear. So how do you know then, let's say you found a good stock and you realized it's not overpriced. Is there a simple or sort of simplistic way to figure out, when do I sell that?
Well, you're investing, remember. You have made your choice carefully. You have determined that this company is worth owning. Therefore, the reasons to sell don't have to do with the fact that they went up. That's what you wanted it to do. Now, there are people who have to sell to pay for their college tuition, or they want to go buy a house, or, you know, one of those reasons. Then you may decide not to sell that wonderful stock, but to borrow against it, which you can do. You can borrow against your stock portfolio for a lot less money than the bank charges. But all that aside, how do you know when to sell? My advice would be you sell when the basic story has changed. In other words, you bought it because of this top manager. This guy at the top is a genius. Well, he leaves, and you don't know anything about the people who are coming in, or they don't have the same reputation. A reason to sell. Or they are selling off the portion of their company that you thought was the best portion in it. Time to sell. In other words, when the original story changes, then you have to reevaluate if you still want to own this company or not. If you don't, that's the time to sell. But my advice for an investor is that you don't sell just because it went up. Now, here's another thing that I would suggest. If you have people who are they're just very jittery about the market, and who isn't almost all the time, but I mean, in general, just very, very jittery right about now. Everything is up. Their stock is doubled, tripled, quadrupled, whatever. If they feel this way, they could take the step of selling just as much as they put into the stock. In other words, your $10 stock is now 50. Okay, you put 10 in. Take your $10 out and let the rest ride, so that you at least feel that you have gotten out your original investment, and yet you let the other stuff stay on the table and continue to work for you.
I like that. The weather is getting warmer. I'm so excited, and it is time to say goodbye to all those jackets and sweaters and hello to the shorts and t-shirts. I wanted to update my summer workout wardrobe for the long haul without, you know, spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince, and I am in love. Quince is your go-to place from everything from premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more. The best part of all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes those savings on to you. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that. Okay, I bought the dreamiest pair of workout leggings and a bright pink workout top to match. Honestly, ladies, I gotta tell you, these leggings you need. The price cannot be beat, and I feel like a million bucks wearing this cozy workout friendly outfit. I've worn it for like 5 days straight. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/ETM for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/ETM to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/ETM. When it comes to financial advice, you gotta trust the source. It's why you listen to this podcast. When I'm looking to upgrade my wallet, I turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. Before NerdWallet, I was paying for vacations all wrong. I was missing out on miles I didn't even know I was leaving on the table. Now I've got a new card with more miles and more upgrades. What could future you do with more travel rewards? I don't know, maybe that fancy hotel upgrade that you have always been dreaming about. Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet. Finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply.
Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Lolly Focus Pops or Lolly Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
That advice. That feels really good. Very tangible.
Good. Doable, I hope.
And what about the difference between, because I get this question a lot on the show, the difference between buying stocks, investing in maybe my 401k or my IRA with mutual funds, and then ETFs are a thing. So how do we figure out these different buckets?
Oh, that's a good question, because it is such a question now that there are so many different kinds of things, ways in which you can invest. My real favorite, and I've followed it since they came out with their very first ETF many years ago. I loved them from the start. When ETFs first came out, they were a single offering by Barclays Bank, and they had special advantages for the institutional investor, and I was an institutional stockbroker at the time. Those special things are of no interest really to the individual investor. They still are in place, but they're of no interest. The individual now has the opportunity through, are there hundreds of ETFs? I mean, they have just exploded because you can buy a basket of stocks in the industry that you're interested in, but you're not particularly interested in finding a single company in that industry. But you can buy the whole industry the portion that you're interested in a basket of stocks, and it is traded in real time. Now, what that means is that you don't have to wait until the market closes to get the price. And that's what happens with mutual funds. You have to wait until the end of the day and take that price for either the buy or the sell. With ETFs, they trade all day long. And furthermore, they're not managed. So you don't pay a management fee. You buy them like you buy a stock. And you can, let's say at 11 o'clock in the morning, it hits 15. You can buy it at 15. You don't have to wait until the end of the day when it's priced at whatever price that might be, which could be considerably higher. So does that make sense? My preference, I have a couple of mutual funds that I'm very fond of and that I believe in, but I, as you know, I can't give advice with the regulatory issues. So I won't mention them, but in general, I prefer ETFs and I love individual companies as long as you have done, the investor has done the research and has found, for instance, your brother goes to work for the company. And you want to support him by buying stock. Great. Good idea. Go to Value Line. Look it up. Find out if the price is attractive. Find out if the business is matches your value system, and then do it. And that's a good reason for buying an individual stock. Or you see a particular company. I mean, here in New York, my Lord, you see so much construction going on. And you see certain things that are used in every single construction site. And you might think to yourself, wow, that really looks like it's a growth stock. I'm going to go check it out. And you may or may not find that it is a growth stock that is publicly traded, which means you can buy it on the exchanges or over the counter. And so that's another reason for buying an individual stock. But without that kind of deep interest and time to do it, do the research, I would go with your ETF.
I like that advice. That's great. I want to talk about number seven, okay. Diversify. I feel like a lot of times we can look at our portfolio and say, oh, wait a minute. We own way too much of one stock or we're not diversified. And a lot of people are curious, what does that even mean to be diversified? So tell us a little bit about the seventh rule.
Well, diversity in this particular case really means balancing your portfolio between those things you own and those entities to whom you have loaned money. I have, years ago, I always taught the four season portfolio, which I thought would be easily understood when people realized that the seasons of our climate would match the kind of things they should have in their portfolio. For example, spring is a perfect time for growth stocks because things grow in the spring. You know that the climate is right, you know, with warm days and cool nights, you get things that grow. So buying emerging companies or good companies that you've researched to follow that portion of your portfolio is a good idea. And then you have summer. And summer is a time when things, have come out of the ground and now you just are watching over them. This is the time for large, mature, growth companies, the bigger companies, not the emerging companies that you might have bought for your spring portion. The fall is a time of great upheaval, as we know, and uncertainty, uncertainty about interest rates, about the future in every way. And for that, I think convertible bonds and convertible stocks or convertible preferreds are very good things to have. And we won't go into the structure of those because it's a little confusing. We don't really have time, but something to consider for the fall. Another thing for winter, when, you know, nothing is growing and you just batten down the hatches and keep your head down, for winter, that's when you put your bonds, your fixed income, something that's high quality, that's going to pay you interest no matter what. So that's my little quick explanation of the Four Season portfolio, which I decided upon many, many years ago, but is how I sort of explain diversifying. Basically, it's really just putting stocks and bonds in a balanced portfolio, meaning, I don't know, 50% stocks, 50% bonds, or 60-40, or whatever your particular, your tranquility measure.
Right.
How much risk do you want to undertake? Because, you know, anything in this area is risky. It has a risk. I won't say it's risky, but everything bears a risk. Not investing is a huge risk.
Yes, I agree. I love that about the seasons. That is so cool. I've never heard that before.
I made it up.
But it makes a lot of sense. And it suddenly adds some great, like, shining light. I was like, okay, this makes sense. I love that. Good. So I'm curious if you had some words of wisdom for your younger self, someone who might be listening right now about the power investing or getting started investing or even just hanging in there with investing, what would you tell your younger self?
I would tell my younger self to get a subscription to Value Line and to look at it regularly and to become familiar with it and use Value Line to direct you into your first investment or your where you want to put your money first in the investment world, and then just get started and keep going.
I like that. That's great advice. Well, we kind of jumped around a little bit of the seven rules. I just wanted to tease it because I want to make sure that everybody picks up a copy of the book and really dives into it. So tell everyone where they can go to connect with you and to get a copy of the book, Rumpelstiltskin's Rules for Making Your Farthing. Am I saying that right? Farthings grow. It's also an English lesson. Yes.
Well, it's on Amazon and Kindle, and I also recorded it for Audible.
Well, I have to admit, I got a really good education in understanding the PEG ratio from Susan. And it's already changed how I'm looking at companies and how I'm thinking about investing. And Value Line, I totally forgot about them until Susan brought them up. But I just went over and checked out their site, and they've got some great free educational videos and even a free 7-day trial. So if that's something you're interested in, obviously Susan has given it a very, very high plug. But I think Susan has this gift for making investing easy to understand. And I think it's really brilliant to share these rules through fables and fairy tales that we already know, because it's like, oh, okay, it suddenly makes sense. We're not talking about all of these terms and vocabulary that is confusing. It's okay, we understand it through the fairy tale. So I just think it's really brilliant. It just makes sense. If you enjoyed this episode, do me a favor, share it with a friend and family member, anyone who you know is really interested in investing. And as always, you can head to the show notes for all the links to our episode guest, as well as our amazing episode sponsors who make this podcast possible.